Hello and welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. This week on the show, we're talking about openings. How do you start your story? What do you do if you're feeling stuck? How do you know if you're making the right impact for your reader? So let's talk about something that every writer wrestles with, the opening paragraph. It's no secret that those first few lines can make or break your story. In just a few sentences, you can either grab your reader's attention or lose it completely. As a result, it can be a very intimidating process. A lot of weight goes on those opening sentences, but there are strategies that you can use to make it feel less intimidating. I think one of the most important things to realize is that even though it's the first thing readers read, it's not necessarily the first thing that you have to write. Many writers will go back and edit that opening line, especially as their story progresses and things may evolve. As an aside, if you ever want a bit of a laugh, I would suggest looking up the Lytle Lytton contest, and that's LYTTLELYTTON. It ran every year from 1983 until just recently and celebrates the worst fake opening sentences ever written. It is named after the infamous author of It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, and it's good for a laugh. But it's also actually helpful in showing you how good ideas can go astray. So you can use it in a way both as entertainment and also to see what not to write. You can look at it and ask yourself what didn't work about it. Was the introduction too slow? Was it too confusing? Was it melodramatic or dramatic? And how would you fix it? Could you save one of those sentences? That can be a good practice in and of itself. One of the things I want to talk about is the idea of starting too early. And what I mean by that is the sense of giving the reader too much information that happens before anything interesting happens. One of the best pieces of advice I ever heard in this regard came from Canadian horror writers Nick Cutter and the late Andrew Piper in a workshop on writing suspense. They framed it by asking participants in the workshop to imagine that your book had just been turned into a movie. You're sitting in the theater on opening night, the lights dim, the curtains draw back, and they ask people to imagine, what is the first image on the screen? What is the first scene of your movie? Now, does that scene match the opening of your story? And if not, it's an opportunity to ask why not. It's a good visual of thinking about what's unnecessary, what can I cut out? Things that people tend to put in there that really don't need to be there are waking up, for example, brushing teeth, making coffee, those sort of mundane things that we assume that most people are going to do in the course of their daily lives. And unless that morning routine, for example, reveals something crucial, you can just skip it. There's an improv approach that says, start on the day that everything changes. And I think start in the moment everything changes is a really good way to get your plot really moving for your reader and make them interested in following along. Another suggestion that I've carried with me came from David Mitchell, author of Cloud Atlas, and he basically explained that anything that exists in your opening scene will be accepted as fact by your reader. So if your story takes place in a strange world, you can hint at that strangeness right away. I think of Haruki Murakami, who once described a sky with two moons, famously in one of his books. They weren't central to the plot, but they told readers, hey, things are going to get a little weird here. So don't be afraid to add something odd, and don't be afraid to introduce it early on to get your readers on side with the world that you're creating for them. As I mentioned before, first lines don't have to be perfect right away. You can write it, move on, and come back later. Once your story has taken shape, you can reread your opening and ask yourself, does it still capture the tone, mood, and world you've built? Does it give away too much or not enough? Sometimes a small subtle hook is more powerful than a dramatic explosion. Now here's a couple strategies for strong openings. Credit goes to medium.com for some of these suggestions. The first one being the run-up, which is essentially just starting to write, getting warmed up, and building your story's momentum. When you feel like your story has hit a good place, like it's actually saying something, you can go back and get rid of all the preamp. Don't worry about revealing all of your story's secrets. A strong start that leaves the reader curious is a great way to keep them hooked. A second strategy is to invent expectation with 1-2 punch. Classic example is Charles Dickens. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. So you set up an expectation. You make the reader think that they're going to get a certain kind of story, a certain kind of premise, and then you flip it on its head right at the start. And that can be a really great way to hook people in. And then the third approach is start with a feeling you want to convey with the reader, but delivered in a vague enough way that they're not sure how to take it. You look at Albert Camus' The Stranger, and in the opening line, he says, "Mother died today." Each reader will probably have their own feelings about what this experience means to them, but you have to start thinking about, how does the narrator feel? That sentence is very flat. It doesn't give away a lot in and of itself. So you need to keep reading to figure out the tone and delivery behind it. Is the narrator sad, relieved, resigned, or numb? You have to keep reading to find out. So now that we've talked about a couple of different options of how to get started, I want to offer a couple of exercises that you can try. So the first exercise is just a 5-minute kickstart. This is a great one if you're starting from scratch or if you just have a really rough idea of something that you want to do. So the first thing you want to do is set a timer for 5 minutes, then write a 1 or 2 sentence summary of your story or the chapter that you want to write. Then jot down your character's journey in bullet points. This will give you a mini map that helps you decide where your story really begins. So let's try that now. So again, write 1 or 2 sentences that give you a summary of your story's chapter. Then write your character's arc or journey in bullet points. Now that we've done that, we're going to move on to something called the 10-line challenge. This is an opportunity to explore and play. Make sure that you have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously. Don't stress too much about what you're doing. Take that story that you've just outlined and write 10 different openings for it. Again, don't overthink it, just keep them coming. Why 10? Because it takes the pressure off writing the perfect one right off the bat and pushes you past just writing cliches. By the time you hit your 8th or 9th or 10th attempt, you're probably going to start finding fresh ideas that surprise even you. Even if none of them are the opening that you settle on, you've exercised a creative muscle and it can help get your juices flowing. So let's spend 10 minutes on 10 sentences now. Now that we've completed both the 5-minute plotting and the 10, or actually 12 minute, to give you a little extra time, plotting of your story arc and creating some opening sentences, I hope it gave you an idea of the kinds of activities that you can do to practice, to play, and to get past the idea that you have to be serious all the time or that you have to pursue perfection from the get-go. Writing should be, first and foremost, something that you enjoy doing. Very few people make a living as a writer, so you have to do it because you love it. If you do it because you love it first, then good things will come from it, no matter what happens with your career, whether you ever share it with anyone or if it's just for yourself. If you were wondering what music we listened to in this week's show, the first track was by Besnard Lakes, and then in the second set, we heard a tune from Lady Hawk, and that is the Vancouver band without an E, not the band with Hawk with an E. And then some Nemesis and some Land of Talk. Hope that helped. Hope you're having a great week, and I hope I'll see you here next week on Word Labs Out Loud.